on page 764 of the Church Bible. You can find it there. You can always find the outline as well every week in the YouVersion Bible app if you'd like to follow along on your electronic devices. Romans 12 this morning.
Yeah, today we're going to be concluding our series that we've been going through for the last 5 weeks on I Love Sundays. Now, of course, that doesn't mean that next week we stop loving Sundays. We're going to continue going on loving Sundays every week. But today is the last Sunday of our five-week emphasis where we've been looking at five different reasons why Sunday is, or at least should be, the very best day of the week.
And we're going to talk this morning about how God has uniquely shaped us, every one of us, to serve Him in some way or other. He has uniquely hardwired each and every one of us for service. I often say that every Christian is a minister. Not every Christian is a pastor, but every Christian is a minister insofar as God has gifted each and every one of us to minister or to serve Him in and through the body of Christ.
Yeah, so we want to talk about that this morning. There are several places in Scripture where the Bible teaches and talks about our giftedness and our service. There are a few places, a few passages that are especially helpful on that in Scripture. But this morning we want to look at the one that Nick read just a few moments ago from Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 3.
And many of you will recognize this passage. We've looked at it before, at least a couple of times over the past several years. And in fact, some of you note takers, I always appreciate those of you who are faithful note takers, because later on you'll say, hey, I remember when we looked at this 10 years ago, you know, and you had like the main points in the text. And that's always helpful because you've got it to review. But as you know, every time we look at the Word of God, even if it's a passage we've looked at before, we do it a little differently. And this morning will be no different in that regard. We're going to look at this passage, but with respect to how does it apply in light of what we've been talking about over the past five Sundays. And so we're going to take a look at this passage, Romans 12, 3 through 8. And before we do that, let's go to God in prayer, okay? Our Father, we ask that you would help us to hear your word this morning. Holy Spirit, be our teacher, we pray, as we seek both to understand and then respond to your word. And do this, we ask, in a way that works in us and through us, that we may bring you the greatest pleasure and the greatest delight. And all this we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Amen. Chapter 12 in the book of Romans begins really a new section of material. The Apostle Paul has written the book, and throughout the first 11 chapters of the book, he really hits us pretty strong with doctrine. And tells us the things that are truths, the things that we should believe. But then in chapter 12 and following, he then begins to tell us how we are to live out that doctrine. That's where we start today.
And that's why the very first verse in chapter 12, he says, I beseech you, therefore, you know, therefore, or in light of these 11 chapters about salvation, about what it means to be redeemed, about what it means to be adopted into the family of God and grow in our sanctification. Therefore, I beseech you, that's a King James language, or I urge you, you know, I urge you in light of all of these great doctrinal teachings. Verse 2, then he says in Romans 12, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So here's the thing. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice. In other words, you know, you don't need to bring animals to temple to sacrifice and worship me. You are the sacrifice. You are a living sacrifice, you know. And so the idea is serve me, live for me. Mm-hmm. In light of all this great teaching, you live out your life for the glory of God. And we do that by the way we think. You know, be not no longer conformed to this world. Transform the renewing of your mind. This is how, you know, we're to think differently and act differently than the world. And so then in verse 3 and following, he gives specific ways how we are to think and how we are to act in and through the church.
Yeah, so if you're a note taker, we want you to jot down these three action points that come from the passage this morning. And the first one that we see coming straight out of the text is this idea of watch your pride. Watch your pride. Pride happens when we think more highly of ourselves than we should. And I know this is going to be surprising to you, but that happens in the church, right? We sometimes think more highly of ourselves than we should. And so Paul writes to us in verse 3, and he says, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith."
I like the way he puts that. He says, you know, don't think of yourself more highly than you should, but think soberly. You know, in other words, sober up. You know, you're probably not as great as you think you are.
Yeah, and it's interesting, the Phillips translation, which kind of puts things into words that really we resonate with and we understand, puts it this way. He says, "Don't cherish exaggerated ideas of yourself or of your importance, but try to have a sane estimate of your capabilities by the light of the faith that God has given to you all." A sane estimate. That indicates that if we're not thinking humbly, if we're thinking pridefully, we're thinking insane.
So it's... Now, I got to pick on my brother in Christ. Kathy, you'll have to tell Bill this. But I saw Bill earlier, and I said, "Hey, you look good in that shirt." And he said, "I know." I said, "Bill, one of the points today is about watching your pride." He said, "Well, I'm doing hall duty." I said, "Well, that's probably providential, you know. So you can pass that on to him, Kathy." But, you know, I'm joking. But, of course, Paul is talking about here in the church, as we serve the church, that humility is especially important. And, you know, not everyone is gifted the same way, right? I mean, not every one of us is gifted the same way, nor does any one person, you know, have all of the gifts and can do absolutely everything. And so this is why Paul is prefacing what he's getting ready to talk about when he talks about how we serve the church, to make sure, let's just remember, first of all, we're not all gifted the same way. And that means that also no one of us is irreplaceable. You know, that includes the pastor as well. That includes every minister. That includes every staff person. No one of us is irreplaceable, okay? God has gifted each and every one of us. God has gifted others to serve as well as we ourselves. And so Paul says, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. God has gifted each one of us a measure, he says, a measure of faith. So not just, you know, not just one person, not just you, but you and you and you and you. He's gifted every single person in the church with a measure of faith and works in and through us that we may serve the body of Christ and through the body of Christ.
Yeah, like Brother Tao was saying, no one person is gifted to do everything. The passage says that each one has been given a measure of faith. God has gifted each one of us with an ability to do at least one thing and to do that one thing very, very well.
Amen.
But he's not gifted us to do everything very, very well. He's not gifted every one of us to be able to do everybody else's job. You see, you may be gifted with the gift to encourage others, but you may not be able to teach. That may not be your gift. You may be able to teach well, but you have problems organizing things. You're not an administrator. Or you may be able to sing well. God bless you. That's not me. I can't play the radio or carry a tune in the bucket. But even if you can sing well, you may not necessarily be great at getting out in front and leading others to do other things. God has gifted every one of us in a completely different way.
And so that's why it's important that we remember that and we remember our need to humble ourselves in the congregation. So watch your pride. Paul teaches then that the church body is like a human body. And that's where he goes next. And let me just make sure we're all awake. By a show of hands, how many of you would say, "I have a human body"? Anybody in the room? Okay, good. Yeah, I raised mine with you. All right. So Paul compares the church body to our bodies, to a human body. And that's verses 4 and 5, okay? Verses 4 and 5, each member of the church has a part, or you could even say each member of the church is a part, okay, is, and then has a part in the body of Christ. So that's the second main action point. You can jot that down. Watch your pride was number one. Number two, know your part. Okay? Know your part. Your part in the body of Christ.
Yeah, so look with me at verses 4 and 5. It said, "For as we have many members, or parts, in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we, the church, mm-hmm. being many parts, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another." So in essence, he's saying, look at your own human body. And as you look at it, notice there are many members, there are many parts of that body. That is, there are many parts to our human body. That's true, isn't it? Right? Even the smallest kids in here, the students, everybody knows that there are many parts to the body, right? I have two hands. Mm-hmm. I have two feet. I have a head with two eyes and two ears and a nose and a mouth, and you can see those things. And even the things that you can't see, the body has many parts on the inside. We have internal organs. I have a heart, and I have two lungs and a stomach, and all of the things that are necessary for my body to work and to function properly. So you're right, Paul. I have many members in one body, just as the church does.
And then Paul says, but all of the members don't have the same function. All the members don't have the same function. You know, and again, when you think about a human body, that makes sense, right? I mean, you know, with my feet, my feet don't have the same function as my hands. I run with my feet. I may throw a ball with my hand or write with my hand. My eyes don't have the same function as my ears. Okay, I mean, that makes sense. I see with my eyes and I hear with my ears.
Yeah, and so at this point, Paul really kind of gets humorous. In 1 Corinthians 12, it really becomes apparent, because in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 17, Paul asks, he says, if the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? Can you imagine a human body that consisted of nothing more than one big eye or one big ear? You know, if that were the case, it might look something like this.
I was just thinking about that.
Which would really be weird for us to look that way. And it would also be weird for the church to look that way. We might have great vision, but we wouldn't accomplish anything. We wouldn't hear things from other people.
So the human body has many different members, or, again, many different parts, and all the parts have different functions, but all the parts work together. Now remember, think again about how this applies to the church. Different functions, but they all work together, okay, each having an important part in the role of the body of Christ. So look at verse 5. Okay, that's verse 5 then is how it applies to the church. Paul says in verse 5, so we, or in the same way, all of us, you know, look at us as a church. In similar fashion, so we, being many, are how many? Are one body in Christ, and individually members, he says, of one another. That is, we being many, many different parts of the church are one body in Christ, and every one of us, each and every one of us individually, members of one another, which is just to say that we all, each of us, work together, each having an important role in making up the church body. Yeah. And let me say this too, this is where the word member comes from. You know, have you ever said, well, where do we read about membership in the New Testament? Well, you read about it in a number of places, but I like here, I don't know whether we always think about this, the idea of a church member. What does it mean to be a member? Well, it means to be an active part of the body of Christ. Member. Church members, then, are church body parts, okay? We are parts that are alive and active and necessarily connected to one another because we function and work together as one body.
Yeah, we all come together to work together as one body and to make the one body what it is. We use our individual gifts in the body in order to make the body complete. If we're not here, then the body is not complete. So we each have a part in the body of Christ. We each have a part in the church. When we come together as the body of Christ, all of these different parts, each person that is here, come together to make up one body. And apart from the body, we're like a severed body part, mm-hmm. which is not useful. It's not pleasant. What good is a part severed from the body? It really has no purpose. What purpose does a hand have without being connected to the arm? What purpose does the arm have without being connected to the shoulder? What purpose does the shoulder have without being a part connected to the torso? Every part of our body needs the other parts, just as Paul is showing us that every part of the church needs the other parts of the church as well.
Yeah, this biblical teaching helps us understand why it may be selfish or it may be self-centered when someone says, well, look, I don't need the church, or, you know, I don't have to go to church to be a member of a church. Well, yeah, you do. I mean, if you want to do what the Bible teaches, because again, verse 5, we being many are one body in Christ, individually members of one another. So without each of us here, like Rich just taught, we're like a severed body part. And so that means we're missing some body parts. You know, it's important then to be here and to say, God, you know, use me for your glory as I'm an important part of the body of Christ. At the deacons meeting recently, one of our deacons shared last Tuesday about a member of the church who had recently returned to active membership after being out for about a year and a half in the world by his own admission. And in fact, he made a point to come to the deacon and say, look, don't ever let me get like that again. You know, if I stop coming, you come out to my house and you knock on the door and you pound on the door and don't let me say, no, I'm not coming back. You get in my face, get in my business and make sure that I'm here, even if I miss once, you know. And then it was kind of humorous because last Sunday he came and instead of going to his Sunday school class, he filled a need in children's ministry. Somebody needed him to work with the kiddos. So he volunteered to do so. And they went up to a Sunday school class and he said, by the way, I'm here this week, so don't come knocking on my door. You know, I'm here. Just wanted to let you know. And I thought that was a cool story.
Yeah, that's the kind of spirit that we really need to have about our entire church family. Because the truth is, what Paul is telling us here is we can't see completely if one eye is missing. Mm-hmm. Or we can't run completely if a toe sleeps in on Sunday morning, right? If we're missing something. We can't be as evangelistic as we should. We can't reach out and reach every community household if a couple of fingers are missing from the hand that is supposed to be reaching out and doing that and deciding that it's not as important as it really is. So it's important that you know your part in the body of Christ. And then, after knowing your part, you use your passion in and through the body of Christ. Know your part and then be passionate about pursuing that part and doing it to the best of your ability.
Yeah, use your spiritual gift to the glory of God. You know, you'll remember a couple of months ago we had a special service called Discover Your Design, and we had some wonderful resources available to help you do that, to discover your spiritual giftedness. Those tools are still available, and a service is scheduled. One of these training sessions is scheduled even for next month. And I just want you to know that, I mean, because each of us needs to know how we're best hardwired to serve the body of Christ.
But, you know, one of the best ways to discover your spiritual gift, I mean, these tools are great, and it's wonderful to take them, and it's a great way to do it. But one of the best ways to identify your gift is simply to ask yourself one simple question, and that is, what do I really have a passion for doing? Because if you have a passion for doing it, if you have a love for doing it, it's going to get done. It's not going to be a chore for you. It's not going to be something that you feel like, oh, I've got to go and do this. You're going to look forward to it. And once you identify that thing that you're passionate about, in all likelihood, that's your spiritual gift.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so that's the third action point. Know your part and then use your passion. Number 3 from verses 6-8. And what Paul does is he lists about, 7 different spiritual gifts that different church members may have. And so just follow along as I read the verses. Verse 6, he says, having then, in other words, you know, this is an assumption, you have these gifts. Having then gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, well, let's use them. That's what he says, let us use them, you know, use your passion. And then he suggests the different ones that are operative in the church at Rome. He says, if prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. And, you know, prophecy in the most general sense is proclamation of truth, biblical mm-hmm. truth. Some are gifted that way to do that, to proclaim. Or ministry, verse 7, let us use it in our ministering. And this gift, by the way, ministry, is really best translated generally as just serving, you know, serving. There are some people who just have the gift of service. Many of you have that gift, you know, and you have a servant's heart. You just enjoy being there for somebody, and not seeking any kind of recognition. You just enjoy doing that and serving. He or she who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts or encourages in exhortation, he who gives, this is someone specially gifted to earn money and then give it for kingdom causes, to do so then with liberality. He who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy, do so with cheerfulness.
Yeah, and it's important as you look at this gift to look at it knowing that it's not an exhaustive list. Mm-hmm. So if you're looking at it and you're reading through it and you say, well, I'm not really good at any of these things, understand that doesn't mean you don't have a gift.
Right.
This is a dynamic kind of list. Matter of fact, there's four places in the Bible where spiritual gifts are listed, and this is just one of them. Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, and 1 Peter 4 all list spiritual gifts. And you know what? None of them are exactly the same.
Right.
There are different gifts that are listed in each one of these four passages. They vary from one another. That means that these gifts are dynamic. That means that God understands and he knows that these are just a representative sample of the gifts that each person in each church might have. But he also knows that each church has different needs and has different people, or has a need for different people with different gifts. So these different lists of gifts reflect the fact that the gifts mentioned are not the only gifts there are. So don't be discouraged if you read the list and say, well, that's not me. It can be anything. God uses an untold number of things for his glory by giving them to his people to use.
That's true, and you may even consider when you look at the list of these gifts, for example, here, just a few mentioned here, you might even think of them as like primary colors, you know, mm-hmm. like there's red, yellow, and blue, and yet those are not like the only colors. I mean, you can mix those together, and you can get orange or reddish orange or green and kind of bluish green and violet. You know, you get a whole host of colors, and that's how it is in the church. You know, each church is made up, variously made up of gifted members who are like, you know, colors that God wants to paint, you know, and he wants to paint a beautiful picture of service in and through the church.
Yeah, because every gift, every tendency, every talent, every skill, every ability, every one of those things ultimately comes from God. Mm-hmm. They're gifts that he gives us in order that we might use them for his glory. Whether or not God gave us the gift before we became Christians is something we've been good at from the time we were very small, or it's something that we discovered we were good at that God gave us after we became a believer and he knew where he was going to use us for his glory and his kingdom. We have to remember what James says in James chapter 1, verse 17. Every good and perfect gift comes from where?
Above.
Comes from above.
Amen. Amen. But each and every one of us should use our gift, should use our passion for serving and ministering in and through the body of Christ. You know, one of the passages that Rich mentioned earlier is Ephesians 4. You may want to turn there if you like. You can see this or you can just listen, but I would encourage you to jot it down, Ephesians 4, especially verses 11 and 12. And I hear a number of you turning there or clicking there, as the case may be. So let me just read it, and I'll give you a second to find it. Ephesians 4 and verses 11 and 12. Paul there to the church at Ephesus, also talking about spiritual gifts, how God has given some to do this, some to do that. And then he gives the reason why. And that's what I don't want you to miss, okay? Because I want you to see that every single one of us is part of the body of Christ, and every one of us is to use our passion. And so God wants us to do that. Now, I want you to see Ephesians 4, verse 11. And he himself, the Lord himself, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. It almost sounds like these are just like the professional ministers, you know. I mean, there's only so many of these, right? He gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. But then why? Verse 12, for this reason. For the equipping of the saints. the saints. If you're a Christian, you're a saint. You may not, when someone says you don't act like one, you know what this means, though. I mean, that's the wrong definition. A saint is anyone who's in Christ. Anyone who's in Christ, actively serving the Lord, part of the body of Christ. So these were given for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. You see that? So every one of us has a role here. He gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, for this purpose, to equip all the saints of the church for that they may do the work of ministry, to serve, and for, therefore, the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ.
So, in other words, the primary role of ministerial leaders, staff people, pastors, teachers, the primary role that every one of us that find ourselves in one of those positions has is outlined here in Ephesians 4:12. Why do we do the things that we do? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ.
So here's the truth. I'm not doing my job adequately. I'm not doing my job biblically if I am not equipping the saints, equipping church members to serve in and through the body of Christ. I mean, you know, we're to be a team, but we're not a team if everyone doesn't have a chance to play on the team to serve the body of Christ.
Yeah, so we want to be sure, as ministers here at Henderson's First Baptist Church, we want to be sure that every member has a chance to play. And not just a chance to play, but a chance to play on the greatest team in Henderson.
Amen.
The team at Henderson's First Baptist Church.
You know, one of the application points in your Sunday school book today is found on page 69. You may just want to make a note of it. I'll read from it. It's under the section at the end, apply it. And number two talks about serving. And I couldn't word it any better than the way it's worded in the discussion guide here. So this is what it says on page 69. What are your passions? You know, that's what we've been talking about. What are your passions? What are your gifts and abilities? Have you found yourself asking God to use you? I mean, you know, that is our desire, right? If we're a follower of Christ, like, God, use me for your glory. Well, he says, get involved in his work, in God's work, by getting involved in the ministry of your church. Join a group at your church that's making a difference in big or small ways. If you don't see an outreach related to your passion, talk to church leaders about starting one. And that's always cool when people do that. And that's happened a couple times just over the past year or so, you know, where someone has said, hey, you know, I'd like to do this. And what do you think? Well, great. So now pain ministry or cancer ministry or even a crocheting ministry in just the past year. Lisa, thank you. Praise God. You know, so if there's some area and you say, well, you know, I'd like for us to do this and you want to be the leader of it, awesome. I mean, that's the whole point. Using your passion for the glory of God. And remember, every small act of service is service, okay? Mm-hmm. I mean, every single thing every one of us does enables the entire church to do its work in building up the body of Christ.
Yeah, so what we want to do this morning is we want to encourage you to use your passion and to serve, not just to serve, not just to fill a position, but to serve for the glory of God. And so that's why we're doing something that's special today. We're having the ministry fair today downstairs in the fellowship hall, and we've done this before, but it's been a while since we've had a ministry fair. It's been a while since we provided you with an opportunity to see every opportunity that there is to serve in the church. And it's been a while, so a number of our ministries have grown, and we need people to serve.
We also now have a director of volunteer ministries, a volunteer director of volunteer ministries, as it should be. And we talked about this, of course, when we looked at the first Discover Your Design service some time back. But my wife, Michelle Lynn, is our volunteer director of volunteer ministry. She's helping a number of us to think about how we can follow this biblical model of encouraging team members to really be part of the team, every one of us, and serving and playing on the team for the glory of God. God has given each and every one of us an ability to serve, and he blesses us, you know this, he blesses us with a joy to do what we do, even if it's just one thing, to do that one thing well. And so many of you in this congregation, even as I look around, I'm thinking about so many of you are involved in like jail ministry, or you're involved in ushering or driving the van or something like that. praise God. And that may be the one thing that you want to do. In fact, you may be overextended if you try to do anything more than that. Well, praise God. Just do the thing you believe God has called you to do that brings you the greatest joy. And do that for the glory of God. But God has definitely given each and every one of us an opportunity to serve Him. And so in the fellowship hall today, and this is from 10:45 to 12:45, at the ministry fair, you'll note, in fact, even in your bulletin, there's this folded handout there, and you might want to just pull it out and take a look at it. I think, do we have some in the pews as well? I'm not sure that we do have them in the pews. We'll try to get maybe some in the pews just to be sure for the next services as well. But these are opportunities to serve God. And, you know, as you look it over, you'll see there are some main headings in red. And then underneath each of those headings is an opportunity of one or two or three or several where you or I can be involved in serving. And so in the ministry fair, there's like 28 tables down there. And we just invite you to check it out here in a little while. And in fact, if you say, well, there's really something I think we ought to do, and I don't see it down here, go to table 28, because that's where Michelle will be, and we'll create a new ministry. You know, you say, boy, I'd like to see us do this or that, and you're willing to lead or be involved, you can stop by table 28.
Yeah, so we want to pray this morning and finish up so that we give you plenty of time to go and to check out the 28 tables in the fellowship hall set up for the ministry fair. Now, you can't run down there right away because it doesn't start until 10:45. When you leave here, you go to Sunday school, and then after your Sunday school class, you run downstairs to the fellowship hall and you check out the 28 tables set up for the ministry fair. And when you get there, it's really simple. You just look at that introductory sheet that's in your bulletin, or you can just walk down there and look around, and you'll see names on tables. You'll see signs that might interest you. And when you see something that interests you, you just go over and you find out more about it. And then you can just sign your name and give your contact information there about something that interests you. And even if you're already serving, if you say, well, you know, this interests me as well, and I'd like to know more about it, go ahead and sign up for it. You're not signing in blood. You're not saying, okay, starting next week, I'm going to be a part of this ministry. But we want to know what you're interested in. Yeah. We want you to be serving joyfully here week in and week out. And we want you to know what's going on at Henderson's First Baptist Church. And you never know. You may just find something that God has given you a passion for doing that you didn't know there was an opportunity for you to do.
But remember, you don't need to do everything. You may have one thing you like to do. Just do that. We're a big enough church that there's plenty of opportunities for other body parts to use their gifts for the glory of God, okay? And so think about that as well. And I'll tell you what. Let me invite you to go to the Lord in prayer, and let's just take a moment, and we'll pray, and then we'll dismiss and go to Sunday school. And then, again, at 10:45, from 10:45 for a couple hours, you can check out the ministry fair. All right? Would you bow your heads in prayer, and let's just go to the Lord together. Heads bowed, and just for a moment. You know, as we think about this text, Romans 12, and we think about these main points about how it is we're to behave in the body of Christ, especially with regard to knowing our part and using our passion. In just a moment, I'll invite you to commit to continue doing that. Some of you doing it already. In fact, a number of you already doing so. Using your passion for the glory of God. Now, others of you, this may be new, and you'd say, you know what, I want to do that. And I want to commit to using my passion for God's glory. And whatever that is, whatever it is you enjoy doing, you're unique and God has gifted you and provided talent. And that matters to God and it matters to others. And you may, whether it's enjoying singing or greeting or teaching, praying, however it is, you want to be involved. So if you want to use your passion for God's glory, or you want to play on the team, let me invite you to just pray this simple prayer, and just pray silently, and I'll pray aloud. Just pray this way. Dear God, I really do believe that you have created me to minister, to serve, and to serve in and through the church body. Show me exactly where you would have me do that. God, help me find a place where I can serve to the best of my ability. And I commit to discovering and using my passion for your greater glory. And with your heads bowed and eyes closed, if you just prayed that prayer, would you raise your hand so that I can see it? I'm raising mine. Just raise your hand and say, yep, that's me. I want to do just that. Would you raise your hand so I can see it? Hold it up for just a second. Amen. Praise God. I'm raising mine too. Praise the Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these dear ones who are saying, yep, I'm going to do that. I understand it's biblical. I'm going to do it. I want to live according to what the Bible teaches. God, help me find joy. Help me find joy in serving you, knowing you created me to do just that. Magnify yourself in and through the body of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Why don't you